You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Hey, good morning, church. Gary Hayes here from Speak Life Global. What an honor and a privilege it is to be able to come to you through video. I want to thank Pastor for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to share a message with you. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of revelation, not the book of Revelation, but the power of revelation and how it's important. I believe that during this COVID-19 situation, that God wants to do something in our life that will have impact and it will have lasting results. Now, we know that maybe economically there's going to be some lasting results that are going to take a long time, but for the church, for believers, God wants to do something in our spirit that will have impact for future generations. He wants to encounter us. He wants to break in and challenge us and encourage us to bring change into our life, to stretch us, to really speak and alter really the course of our life. I'm experiencing some things in this season that I never thought I would. I'm experiencing God just do amazing things, speaking to me, but also coming in ways that I'm blown away of God's provision, God's hand upon our lives, because there's these encounter moments, these revelation moments that are taking place. The Lord in His wisdom allows and designs certain times in our lives to prove and bring out what's in our heart, to prove us. You know, trials don't produce faith, they reveal faith. And so when trials come upon us, they reveal our faith. They don't produce faith, they reveal our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Trials reveal faith. They reveal God's faith in us, and it reveals our faith in God. That we believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so there are times that we need to operate with revelation and understanding. I believe this is one of those times where we need to operate with revelation and understanding. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, that the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. In 1 Chronicles 7, 5, it called them mighty men of valor. In other words, these men were warriors. They were men of action. They were men of war. We need the church to rise up and become men and women of battle, that we will be battle tested, battle ready, battle prepared, that God will give us revelation, that we will operate with an understanding of what He's doing in this season, and we won't be shaken. We won't be fearful, but we will be full of love. Perfect love casts out fear. We'll be secure in God's love, and we'll be secure in faith that God is able to do what He said He would do. In the Bible, we know that revelation knowledge and insight is a promise from God. In Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures here. It says, "For I will set my eyes on them for good." Come on, God's setting His eyes on us for good. "And I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." I love that scripture, because really what it says is that God's going to give us a heart to know Him. God's going to put a heart in us to know Him. To know means this idea by personal experience. It's an intimate revealing. It's to be acquainted with, to have literally divine perception. You and I need to walk in divine revelation. We need to have a spirit of revelation that will come into our heart. Revelation, defined in the Bible, means to uncover or to unveil. It means to make known or of something that was previously secret or unknown. It means the divine or supernatural disclosure to humans, something relating to human experience. I get to prophesy over a lot of people all over the world, and I'm amazed when God gives me a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, and he reveals a secret of the man's heart. He just opens it up. The Bible says that God reveals the secrets of men's hearts. Listen to these scriptures. Daniel 2, verse 47, it says, "The king answered Daniel and said, 'Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of the secrets, since you could reveal this secret.'" Would it be said of the children of Israel and the children of God, the church of Jesus Christ, that we would have the secrets of God, that we could reveal the secrets of men's hearts? Listen to what 1 Corinthians 14 says in verses 24 and 25. He says, "But if all of you are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meetings, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. As they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed, and they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring, 'God is truly among us.'" God is truly among us. See, God wants the church to operate from a spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding. He wants to give each of us a personal revelation in this time. A few years ago, I was in Chicago in January. Not a good time to be in Chicago in January, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And so I was in this great church. They have two or three campuses. And in one of the campuses, the pastor said, "Gary, just preach for a couple minutes and then just run through the congregation, just prophesying over people." So I said, "Great." So I came up to this guy and put my hand kind of on his shoulder. No social distancing back then. But anyways, I put my hand on his shoulder. I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm a hugger. And I love touching people. So, oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. I put my hand on this guy and I said, "You know, I just want you to know, brother, God loves you." And the guy just lost it, started crying. And I said, "You know, you've had a rough year. It's been a real difficult year. But this next year is going to be better. And God's going to be with you. And I said, "You know, this may be your first time in church here today, but I just want you to know God loves you and he's got a plan for you. And you need to seek the truth because he's going to reveal himself to you this year like you've never known." And that was kind of it. Off I go. So, you know, we finished the service. That afternoon, I got an Instagram message from him. He said, "Hi, my name is such and such." And he said, you kind of did something today when you put your hand on me." He said, "When you said God loved me," he said, I think that I just started crying." And he said, "I was so overwhelmed." He said, "I don't know what happened," but he said, "just an assurance came in my heart that I was loved." And he said, "Honestly, I've been crying all day." And he said, "And then you said, like, you said things about me. I thought, how does this guy know that I've had a bad year? How does he know I've had one of the worst years of my life?" And then he said, "You said this was your first time in this church." He said, "Well, actually, it was the first time I was at that church. But," he said, "it was actually the first time I've ever been in church." So I just encouraged him. He thanked me. And I just encouraged him to get into church, pursue truth. And, you know, just kind of on my way, go to another meeting and, you know, trust that God would bless that man. Told the pastor about it. Well, in October of that year, I got another Instagram text and he goes, "Hey, it's such and such." He said, "Last January, you prophesied over me." And I'm thinking, wow, his language has changed. He goes, "You prophesied over me." And he said, "You said this, this, and this." He said, "I just want you to know this summer I've been in search of truth." And he said, "This morning, I want you to know I gave my heart to Jesus." And then he said, "And I'm being water baptized." And he took a picture of him being water baptized. And I just remember this scripture, you know, how revelation came to this man. And now he's serving God. He's moved to London, England, and just loving God. He's in a great church in London and just serving the Lord, all because of revelation knowledge. Come on, church. God wants you and I to operate in the power of revelation. Come on, the power of revelation. See, revelation always starts with an encounter with Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with awe as you worship Jehovah God. To receive the revelation of the Holy One, you must come to the one who has living understanding." You got to come to Jesus. Come on, salvation comes through revelation. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the paths to the bliss that brings me face to face with Jesus, face to face with you." Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man, for I have neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Come on, it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation always comes from a spiritual source. And Jesus is that source. His word, he is the word, and his spirit living in us. The word of knowledge is information that we don't know. The word of wisdom is the application of truth in a given moment. A word of prophecy is a word that speaks and edifies and builds us up and maybe even gives us some direction in our life. See, all of this is revelation. It's a spiritual thing in God. Revelation is progressive. You know, God takes us through experiences to reveal himself to us. Revelation is God breathing on scriptures to make it clear and fresh into our spirit. You know, I've read this Bible over and over again, read it through numbers of times, but I can read a scripture like I did this morning, reading my Bible, and it just becomes fresh again into my spirit. It's like fresh revelation every day. The word comes alive in our spirit. The Bible says in Acts 26 that Paul was apprehended by God when God revealed himself to him. He knocked him off his donkey, and Jesus opened up. He saw a vision of Jesus. And then Paul says, "I was obedient to the heavenly vision." That revelation of Jesus changed Paul's life so much that it affected everything he did from that moment. From that moment. Folks, God wants to give you and I revelation that will affect us for the rest of our lives. Revelation must be pursued. There must be a determination to seek after the person who holds the answers. Proverbs 25, verse 2 says this, "God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory, but the honor of kings is revealed by how thoroughly they search out the deeper meaning of all that God says." You got to pursue it. In Philippians, Paul says it this way, "I admit that I have yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. Let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion." You see, Paul had a passion that came from a deep revelation of his gifts, his calling, and his ministry upon his life. He encouraged and exhorted people to pursue with him that same passion, that same calling. And God wants to reveal things so that you and I can act upon them. An awakening of the soul that will put a divine push of possibility that comes by revelation. Paul had the ability to trust that God could reveal it to others, that God could speak revelation knowledge. Whatever God has revealed to us, we need to walk in it. We can't use it as an excuse of not knowing more from fulfilling what we do know. You see, God wants to keep giving us more revelation. Don't use the excuse, well, I don't have enough. You have enough to walk in the revelation of what God does. See, He wants to bring revelation into our hearts so it brings a simplicity into our spirit. When you have revelation of who God is, all of a sudden, it brings a simplicity into your soul. Revelation will keep you focused on what's important. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no clear prophetic revelation, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul." We don't want to wander. We don't want to go from place to place. You know, we want to have a revelation. Now listen, there's a lot of crazy stuff out there. There's a lot of crazy stuff on social media. There's a lot of things going on about all conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff. Listen, let's stay with the revelation of God's word. Let's stay with the revelation of God's spirit. Let's stay with the revelation of who God says you and I are. I don't get caught up in all this stuff. I just stay with the revelation that God has given me. When we were told we couldn't go, I've been in my house for 6 weeks. And, you know, it's kind of getting crazy. And we've still got a few more weeks probably of this. And you couldn't travel. And I said, well, you know, I can't earn a living. I did not for 1 minute live in fear because I have a revelation of God's love. He put a security in my soul that God is in control. God is my defender. God is my source. And so, church, I want to encourage you this morning. Let's get a revelation. Let's get a revelation and stay focused so we don't wander. We don't go to the left or to the right, but we stay focused. We hear a voice coming from behind saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." You see, revelation, to become powerful, it's got to become personal. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Revelation, to become powerful, must become personal. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 to 19, Jesus said this. He said, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" He asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he looked at the disciples and said, "Who do you say that I am?" Excuse me. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't stand against it." You see, this revelation didn't come through human wisdom and knowledge, but it came from heaven. Our solutions to the issues that we face will not come from natural reason or wisdom, won't come from governments. Listen, it's got to come from heaven. Revelation will remove all guesswork. Did you notice this? Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And revelation removed the guesswork. It said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so revelation reveals even who we are. Revelation reveals the character of God. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed one." And all revelation will reveal the character of God. It'll reveal part of who God is. Whenever God has revealed something to me, I've grown in my understanding of who He is. I've grown in my understanding of His nature. I've grown in my understanding of His ways. Listen to this scripture in Genesis 22, verses 12 to 14. It says, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. It shall be provided. Abraham, in that moment, had a revelation that God was Jehovah Jireh. He was the Lord who provided. You know, as I was a young man, I was graduating from Bible college. I was in my last semester. And to be honest, I needed $1,850. I didn't have it. And so I was in an internship for 3 weeks. And on the last week of the internship, the Sunday night before the last week, I was at the altar praying, seeking the Lord. And I was just calling out to God. I had a few things that I needed the Lord to speak to me. Three things, actually. And one of them was I needed $1,850. And in that moment, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I will provide." Now, I was just a brand new Christian, a couple of years old in the Lord. I'd never really known God as my provider. And so I just heard him say, "I'm going to provide." And so the week went by. On the Saturday, I drove home. I was going to go up on Sunday to Bible college, and I was going to go into my mailbox and hope that there was money in the mail. And my mom said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I heard God speak to me. I'm going to go to my mailbox and trust the Lord." My parents didn't have a lot of money. My mom walked out of the room, came back in the room with an envelope with $1,850 cash. And in that moment, she said, "Gary, on Monday morning, every day this week, someone called and said, the Lord spoke to me this morning to give Gary money for Bible college. And back in 1984, I had $1,850 cash. I walked up into Bible college Monday morning, paid my bill, graduated from school, and God has been faithful ever since." Now, from that moment, I have never left. I've just never lost that thought that God is my provider. In this season, with no travel, I said to my wife, "We're going to keep giving because God's going to provide." And so the other day, I gave a man in our church $250. Just a single guy, got some developmental things happening with his life, and I just wanted to take over him. I hadn't seen him for a while. I gave him a chocolate bar and the $250 cash. He shook my hand, social distancing, and he was so happy, and I was. I got in my car. I was crying. I was so happy that I was able to do that. The next day, I wake up. I turn on my phone. There's a text waiting for me. A friend of mine from another part of the world texted me and said, "Hey, I'm just wiring into your account 5,000 US, way more than I gave." And, Canadian funds, that's a lot of money. And so it's like $1 million. And so God is faithful. He is our provider. Come on, He is our provider. You see, revelation, listen, it can come and it can release divine activity in your life. When God gives you a revelation of who He is, it releases divine activity in your life. Revelation reveals what God wants to do and will do in your life. He wants to be your provider. Revelation reveals the authority that we have in Him. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, He says this, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Personal revelation will bring keys into your life that will unlock doors and release heaven's blessing to the earth, to your sphere. Personal revelation unlocks the authority of heaven in your life. It releases power in and through you to others. It's an unveiling of new realms of living, of new realms of possibility, of new realms of faith, of new realms of fresh vision, of new realms of God's character and nature and personhood, of new realms of way God can operate in and through your life. Church, I want to encourage you this morning that God wants to give you personal revelation. today? Would you seek him for revelation? Would you believe him for revelation? I want to finish with one scripture, and it's this scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Paul says, I pray, this is my prayer for you. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through the deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of his glorious inheritance that he finds in us, the holy ones, his holy ones. Paul says, look, I'm going to pray that God gives you a revelation of what God can do in and through your life. Church, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that God, by the Holy Spirit, would rain down revelation into your heart, that this would be a season where you would encounter God, where God would speak to you, that he would put a confidence in your soul, he would put an urgency in your spirit. I want to finish with one story. A few years ago, it was actually about 8 years ago, I was desperate for God. I was leaving a staff position. I was just desperate for God, and I just needed to meet him. And I was in a prayer room. I was out in Redding, California at Bethel. I was in their 24/7 prayer room, and I was just praying. I was just seeking the Lord, and I saw this guy take communion. So I went, and I grabbed communion, and I took communion. I said, Lord, I haven't taken communion. You said as often as we do this, we remember you. And so there was nobody in the prayer room. It was just me, and I said, Lord, I remember you. And in that moment, Jesus came into the room. And folks, he just stood beside me, stood right in front of me. And I just had this amazing experience. He just breathed into me. And, you know, just kind of warm tears just began to flow down my face. And he just began to speak to me. And he said, Gary, I love you. It's going to be okay. I'm in control of your life. I'm the God that opens doors. And I am the God of rest. And in that moment, the only thing I can say is a deep security came into my soul that God, the God of Almighty, the God who has shown himself faithful to me over and over and over and over again, in that moment, he put a security in my spirit and I knew he was in control of my life. Now, folks, I've gone through a lot in these last 8 years. In September, I had a heart attack. And in that moment, God again reaffirmed, I'm in control of your life. I'm flattening the curve. I've lost some weight. And so I'm doing my part to flatten the curve. And my heart is strong. We're believing God for greater days. I'm believing that these days are going to be great days. Can you believe with me that God will reveal to you what you need him to be? He is the great I am. He is the God that you need him to be in this season. Whatever you're going through, God wants to bring revelation to you right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for everybody watching, those who maybe don't go to church. I pray, Lord, bring revelation, bring an unveiling, reveal the secrets of their hearts to them. Lord, I pray that you would speak into every person right now, that you would minister to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for anybody who doesn't know Jesus. You're watching, you're listening. I want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart. Just pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Change me. Lord, change my heart. Lord, I receive you into my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, that you're a believer right now, and God wants to bring greater revelation to you. He wants to speak into your spirit in greater ways. Find a good church. Go to this church. Find a good church, and God will help you. God will assist you in Jesus' name. Church, I just want to finish again by saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would have a spirit of revelation and understanding In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Wow, that was extremely good. I hope you wrote down some notes. I was scribbling notes all along. We just want to thank Gary for sending us that incredible message, that incredible timely message for our lives. I wrote down this quote because when I've thought of that word revelation, we can kind of make these words into very spiritual, almost over-spiritual sounding things. It just means to reveal something hidden, revealing of something we didn't know before. And I loved he put this, revelation to become powerful must become powerful. Personal. At the end of the day, God wants to reveal himself to us. His nature is what this is all about. His relationship with us is what this is all about. So I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for your family in this moment and just believe for God's blessing that you have an incredible day, an incredible week. God, we thank you right now that you are with us. You are in our homes. You're in our cars. God, you are with us wherever we are listening to this message. And we just ask right now for revelation in our lives, God, that you would reveal yourself to us in a greater way. No matter how long we've known you, maybe it's just been for the last 2 minutes as we prayed that prayer. God, maybe it's been for 35 years or 45 years of our life. But God, we know that there's more of you to get to know. And so God, reveal yourself to us. Reveal your nature to us, God. Reveal the things that you want to teach us, the things you want to guide us in. And Father, we just say together, we are open to you, Jesus. We thank you so much for your provision, for your guidance over us. And God, we ask blessing over every family right now, every person who's watching this, every person who is going to watch this. God, we ask for your blessing in these moments, that your peace and rest would be what reigns in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed Mother's Day. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.